Welcome to Corritos. This week, high C working from home downfall. The questions this cast answers are, what are high C's likely to forget when working from home? What should high C's do to make working from home more effective? And how can high C's make working from home easier? Do you know what doesn't happen when you become an executive? Sure, you get the bigger office and the better computer and the pay rise, but what doesn't happen is they don't teach you how to become an executive. I mean, you thought they'd teach you how to be a manager when you became a manager, right? And they didn't. Well, they won't teach you to be an executive when you become an executive either. Fortunately, there's now Executive Tools, a new podcast in the Manager Tools specific, actionable style just for executives. So if becoming an executive is a mystery, we can get rid of that mystery for you. To get it, become a licensee by going to the Manager Tools website, look for personal license in the products dropdown, and follow the instructions. If you've listened to the first three segments of this series, so the high D, high I, and high S, working from home downfall, and you've heard us explain what DISC is and give the little vignettes of the styles, then you might want to skip to around 6:30 because we're going to do that again for everybody who hasn't heard it, already heard it, unless you want to hear us explain it again. Just skip through to about 6:30 and that's where we're going to start for the high C's. Sarah, we've come to the conclusion that remote work is going to continue at least part-time for many of us after 2021, whether it's our own preference in that we have decided we really like working from home, whether it's that the company prefers that because they don't have to pay for an office, or whether it's some future crisis. We've already seen with Colonial Pipeline, people not being able to get to work because there was no gas. So when you thought that there were going to be no more universal crises,
then there were.
There instantly were. But now we've proved that remote working can work. It's just going to become one of the normal range of options that there are about how you go to work. And if we know that, we also know we're going to have to get good at it. And, you know, for the last however many months, we've been able to say, oh, it's just this, you know, it's temporary and I don't have to whatever. But now, if we choose it going forward, then we have to be good at it. And that means avoiding the traps that our behavioral preferences can lead us into. And in this guidance, we're going to talk to the high C's, but if you're not a high C, you can listen too, because it will help you understand your high C colleagues and just see where they're coming from and maybe where you can pick up and help them a bit.
Yes. Exactly. All right. So in today's outline, the way the cast will work, we are going to begin by addressing or talking about what is a high C. Then some tips, that is adapt, communicate, and increase congeniality. So let's get started with talking a little bit about what it is high C means. High C is one of the four DISC profiles, DISC being a self-administered behavioral assessment that measures how assertive or reserved you are, and then how task or people-focused you are. Note, these are independent variables. And DISC itself has a long history of significant scientific validity. Now, there are the four styles of DISC, the first being the D. D stands for dominance, which is the tendency to exert power and assertiveness. Then I, which stands for influence, the tendency to assert oneself socially and interpersonally. Followed by steadiness, which is the S, the tendency to engage in reserved, thoughtful behavior, and today's topic, the C, conscientiousness, the tendency to be reserved and analytical.
Clearly the best one.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to give a quick short description, a little vignette, as it were, of each of the styles here. But if you go to the website and you search for DISC, you'll find hundreds of podcasts that address all sorts of aspects of the DISC profiles and how to work with them, how to understand yourself better and how to understand other people. So we'll start with the high Ds. Both Sarah and I are high Ds. We are seen as hard charging, take no prisoners kind of people. We don't mind taking ownership, making decisions and moving fast and breaking things. And we achieve the goal no matter what the cost. In fact, if somebody sets us something to do, we don't ask how long or how much or how do you want it done. We just say, okay, and then do it.
And do it.
We get straight to the point, often sending one sentence or one word emails. If you get a one word email from a high D, they're not mad. They're just efficient. They're not patient or good with details. So they're your exact opposite in that way. And that's okay yeah. with them. They think that's fine. So other high Ds, Gordon Ramsay, Simon Cowell, and Margaret Thatcher.
Mm-hmm. Then there is our high I's. Guys, high I's are the people that could sell ice to snowmen. They are sociable people who have a friend in every single department. Every meeting for them is made better by the more friends of theirs who are in it. They're more the ideas people, strategy. Think strategy, not details. Details, schmetails. Your eyes are your big picture, big idea people. They help the team see the future, but they're not the people that are going to figure out how we're going to get to the future. High eyes love emails as you do, although high eyes would prefer all of their emails to have jokes and witty sayings in them. And some examples of high I's are Steve Harvey, Bill Clinton, and Will Smith.
High S's are reserved like you, but they're people focused. They're the people who take care of the people on their team. They know each person's preferences. They know everybody's family's names. They understand their mood just from looking at them and how they made the coffee in the morning. They help the team slow down and ensure that everyone's point of view is heard and respected. High S emails always start by asking you how you are, and they really want to know.
mm-hmm.
Other high S's, Mother Teresa, Gandhi, and Fred Rogers.
Yes, which takes us to you all, our high C's. Not that I need to tell you, but you're the data analysts of your team. You're the ones who are deep into the details. You help the team get things right, and you think of every possible permutation that it will require to get to the most accurate answer possible. You're calm and logical, and your communications are slow, structured, and correct. Other examples of our high C's are Spock and Data, and those two characters have in common what, Wendy?
They're both on Star Trek?
They're not human.
Ba-boom. Oh!
Good one, right? Yeah. There's also Sheldon from Big Bang Theory, and Harrison Ford. Those are our high C's.
So now we know a little bit about all of the different profiles and a little bit about you. The first piece of advice when it comes to working from home and avoiding your own pitfalls is to adapt. As a high C, you will probably struggle working from home, at least at first, even if it's for a desirable reason. Even if you went back to work after the pandemic and then you thought, I really like working from home, I'm going to find a job where I can work from home. It's still difficult when your systems and processes are disrupted. And that may tempt you to work on the systems and the processes. You may think, oh, I'm going to reintroduce GTD and I'm going to do it right. Or I'm going to redo all of my file folder organization. But what you're trying to do is force the current circumstances into a system that used to work. And that's the wrong way to go about this.
Yeah, exactly. It's the wrong way to go about it because it's not going to work. From your personal productivity, perhaps all the way to the products being sold to your customer, everything is likely quite different. So the solution to this is not to try and force your current solutions into old systems, but rather adapt those systems to meet the needs of a new and potentially evolving situation. Once you've decided this is the right path, it'll be so much easier for you to excel in this area. That is, your strengths in developing a way of working that ensure all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted, everything is perfect, is a true benefit to your adaptability and to your team.
Your skill is to take the desired outcome and work out the right way to get there. So do that, because that's exactly your sweet spot, but do it fast. And we know fast and right, or fast and correct, are anathemas.
Mm-hmm.
But when the situation is changing rapidly, you have to move faster than you are used to. You cannot take days to set up the system in order to do the work, if the work is coming at you that fast or the situation is changing that fast, you are going to have to go faster than you want to. And it is okay in these circumstances to go fast and dirty and to clean up later when things start to settle.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. Absolutely. And I mean, in those evolving situations, you don't even know how long your process is going to be necessary. So working to perfect something that's temporary isn't a good use of time.
If you're about to be a manager, or you're already a manager and you've discovered they don't teach you how to be a manager when you become a manager, you can learn how to be one in Vancouver or Las Vegas in the next month. August 31st and September 1st, we are teaching our Effective Manager Conference and our Effective Communicator Conference. They're small groups because COVID, and so the presenter to student ratio is really low. There's lots of opportunity for you to get FaceTime with the presenters to ask really specific questions about your situation and how the manager tool's advice or guidance will apply to you. To find out more, go to the Manager Tools website, look for training in the menu bar, and find Vancouver or Las Vegas, whichever is closest to you.
All right. Our next tip then is communicate. Now, some of you probably think that working from home is great. Why? Because there's nobody around to get in the way of your efficiency. People leave you alone. This leads to you working very, very hard on your task list and not at all on your relationships with other people. And career success, as we've said more times than I can count at this point, relies on two things: its results and relationships. And you can get by for a while with just results, just getting things done, just crossing things off your list and being really, really good at your work. But without good relationships, you're going to find your work stalling and less progress being made on your career ambitions because no one's in your corner.
And what you're thinking as you fine-tune your spreadsheet is, I'll just avoid these couple of phone calls and then I can get this spreadsheet perfect and then it will answer all of the questions. Or you're thinking, I'm going to leave that email because I don't quite have the right words, but if I leave it another couple of hours, the words will come to me and I'll get it. Or you decline a meeting invite because there's no agenda.
Those guys are the worst.
And yes, there's no agenda. That's a bad meeting. But there's good reasons for you to do all of those things. And you think that everyone realizes that you have those good reasons.
Yeah, you think they do.
But they don't. Mm-hmm. You think that everyone thinks like you, in the same way that Sarah and I think like everybody thinks like us. It's a human thing. We assume that what goes on in our head is what goes on in everybody's head. And if you ever wonder about that, look up internal narrator. Some people have an internal narrator and some people don't.
It just boggles my mind.
And the people who do can't believe anyone doesn't. And the people who don't can't believe anyone does.
How do you live life like that?
Exactly. So what's happening in the minds of the other styles while you are perfecting what you're doing is they're wondering what's going on. The high Ds are wondering why you haven't responded yet. The high Is are wondering if you like them. The Ss are wondering if you're okay. And everybody is waiting for you.
Exactly. Now, the good news of all of this conundrum we're explaining for you, is that it's easy. It's as easy to communicate as it is to ignore phone calls and emails, as it is to buy yourself time. With the high Ds, it's simple. Reply quickly. Just shoot out a date, give them a date and a time when you think you'll have an answer. And I know you don't want to, but it's okay to estimate.
High Ds, we said, they rush into things. They make a decision and go with it. And because of that, they often find themselves backtracking or remaking a decision or finding out that that wasn't the way to do it, but they rushed into it. And because of that, they are okay when you estimate and then send a revision. They just want that fast reaction.
Yes, speed over accuracy. Absolutely. Now, with the high Is, you can just shoot back a quick note that says, I got your email and I'm working on your stuff. And yes, you can say stuff and the eyes won't care. You don't have to outline the 3-4 things that they requested in their message to clearly encapsulate what they asked for. I'm working on your stuff is totally fine. Eyes are good with that loose language, those unclear terms, which takes us to S's. You can just reply and let them know that you'll be happy to take care of them and when they can expect that you'll be ready to talk about it.
And while we say reply,
yeah,
if it's a phone call, you have to pick it up and answer, right? Like, if it's an IM, then you respond to the IM. If it's a text message, you respond to the text message. One of the tricks, I think, of communication is that people tend to communicate in the way that is their preference. Yeah. So if you reply by that method, you're already adapting yourself to them, and they will see that as a good thing, a benefit, a valuable professional thing that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And from a C perspective, I mean, think threaded messaging. The whole thread of that message, that idea, that conversation is in a singular place. In some cases, you're going to learn that the time that you want to work on the question is simply not available to you. The quick and dirty solution, a rushed job, is just going to have to do in this case. And that's frustrating. We know it's frustrating, but knowing is better than not knowing. And in many cases, what you're going to find is that the other styles will be glad to have the acknowledgement and response.
All they want to do is hear from you.
Exactly.
They don't actually want the answer.
No, they just want to know you're working on it. That's all.
And for heaven's sake, please go to meetings, even if there's no agenda. Some people just don't understand the value of pre-planning, and that doesn't mean that you shouldn't help them. They need you to help them structure and think and pre-plan, and that's the value that you bring to that meeting and that team.
Exactly.
Next, increase congeniality. So we know you do not want to waste time on chit-chat and idle gossip. It goes on in every team, and it's a waste of time. And you didn't want to do that when you were working in the office, and you thought that working from home would excuse you and you wouldn't have to do it anymore. So here's the bad news. You actually need to do it more at home than you did in the office.
Yeah, that is the worst part. Those waste of time, I say with bunny ears, you can't see the quotation, air quotes I'm doing here. Those waste of time conversations are a good part of what the other styles call likability. And whether or not people like you, it sounds silly, goes a long way to getting what you want when you want it. Other people will assume that you're cold and aloof, that you don't like them and you don't want to work with them if you communicate rarely and or only by email. We're gonna say it again. Careers are made up of two things, results and relationships. And as much as you don't believe it to be true, those two things are equally important. Getting results and being right is not good enough.
And sadly, that means communicating with others 50% more than you do when you're in the office, which
is
enough. I mean, Sarah and I being Heidis, we're on the communication paucity section with you guys.
Yeah, we are.
And we don't want to communicate 50% more either. It makes us want to go to work in an office, so we don't have to. But the question is, how do you get to 150% without using email? Because we've already said email doesn't build relationships.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, here's a couple of ways. Be early to video and telephone conference calls. Take the time not to get your papers in order and review your agenda and read on mute with your video off and not be an active participant. Rather, be there to chat, having reviewed in advance of that 10 minutes, the agenda and the meeting minutes, etc. Ask other people who show up early and are in that same Zoom room, same teleconference call as you are, how their weekend was. And jot down anything, write down what they say about future plans, family, how they're feeling, so that next time you're in this situation, having called in a few minutes early, you can ask them, you can follow up. When you plan your week, literally, I mean, sitting down at your calendar, looking at all of your meetings, you will schedule 10 minutes before each meeting to do that. And then you can measure it, right? You can measure how well you're doing by counting up and looking how many minutes you spent chatting this week. Was it more or less than 10 minutes per meeting? And now you've got a goal for the next week.
I love this. It's like, what does Kate call it? Numbers for people.
Numbers for people. Exactly. Numbers for people.
Another way is to share information that other people might not have. Answer their questions. You are often able to draw conclusions or see patterns in data that other people can't. And you might think that they know because it's obvious, but it's not. They do not think about data as deeply as you, nor do they have the minds that look at numbers and details and kind of sort it all out in the way that you do. I can tell you, a high eyes mind is like cotton candy. It's all big fluff and no structure or rigidity what's that word? Taxonomy or anything.
Yeah.
It's just cotton candy.
Yeah, that's why they go off on tangents. Everything is so interconnected. It's really gray.
Yes, exactly. And you might think that holding on to information makes you more valuable. Some people think that if I have the information and you don't have it, that I'm more valuable, that I have something. It's like money. If I have it, you can't have
yeah,
it, right?
Exactly.
But actually, when it comes to information, it doesn't make you more valuable. And here's why. Because nobody can give you value if they don't know the information you have.
Exactly. They have no idea you've got it.
Yeah. If Sarah doesn't know that I know where Mark's going to be tomorrow morning and it's somehow relevant, then Sarah can't think that I'm smart, special,
right,
in the know, whatever, any good things we can ascribe that, because she doesn't know that. Yeah. I know. Sharing information gives you more value, not less.
Exactly. So what that means is send claps, celebrations, little yays on instant message, in email, and give words of praise in meetings. Respond to the "aren't I awesome" emails with a positive message. Now, the trick here is listen or read, if it is an email, what the high I's and high S's are saying. Use those phrases. Instead of sitting around and racking your brain to come up with the right words to say to contribute to the conversation and add value, reuse some of those tricks or phrases. And again, we know it's a waste of time, effort, and resources, in your opinion. And yet, it increases your value in the eyes of the other styles. And therefore, your ability to get what you want when you want it is increased as well.
I just had an awesome idea for Text Expander. So every high C listening knows what Text Expander does. It's a text expansion service. And you write in a short code and it writes out a sentence or math or whatever you tell it to do. Mm-hmm. If I were a high C, I would copy what I's and S's say in response to, for example, an "aren't I awesome" email. And I would like short code it to be "aren't I awesome," A-I-A. And then
right,
my text expander would just put whatever they replied last time into the yeah, next email. And then I'm like, I don't even have to think about this. I just have to remember the short code.
Exactly. It's not rocket science.
I feel like a genius right now.
Right? I know. And all of the C's are like, oh my gosh, my text expander will totally do that.
Yeah, exactly. And they probably can randomize it as well. If we gave them 10 phrases, I bet they could randomize it, which I don't know how to do.
Oh, I'm certain.
So give people grace. Not everyone has their systems and routines in as dialed in as you do. People are late and unprepared and sloppy in their thinking.
Yes.
And yet they bring to the team values that you don't have. That the I's are the idea people, the enthusiasm people, the energy. The S's are the caring people. The D's are the ones who get things done. Everybody has something. This is not a zero-sum game. This is not a one style is better than the others. Everybody is bringing something. So give them some grace. Appreciate their strengths, which will cause them, almost certainly, to appreciate yours.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So to wrap it up, guys, remember, no DISC profile is better than the other. DISC isn't a test. It's a behavioral instrument designed to help you understand your different behaviors, how they work, and how they do not work in different situations. That said, it can be incredibly useful as a tool to help you stop getting in your own way. And in this case, by adapting and increasing your collaboration while working from home.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with something new. Bye, everyone.